It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer, and let's talk about some more words on this most wonderful podcast called The Dictionary. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you are enjoying it. And I hope that you are writing a review and on the Apple Podcasts and writing comments and liking and subscribing and sharing and joining the Patreon for $1 a month and all of those great things. All right, the first word in this episode is garrison state. Should we remind ourselves about garrison from the previous episode, military post? It's all about protection, I think. Yep, okay, so noun from 1937, it is a state organized to serve primarily its own need for military security, also a state maintained by military power. It's all about the military and protecting stuff. A garrison state, so now you will know. When you hear garrison state, like I'm sure you're hearing it all the time, then you'll know what it's all about. All right, the sound effect today will be tss. Next, we have garron or garron, G-A-R-R-O-N. Garron, garron. It is a noun from 1540. It is Scottish and Irish, and it is a small, sturdy workhorse. I guess it literally could be a horse. That's probably what it is. A horse that's working, and it is sturdy, and it is small. But I guess it could also be literally, like, just, I keep on saying literally, it could be the horse that you do work on. You know, the thing that you build out of wood or metal. Let's look. G-A-R-R-O-N. Horse, I guess? Let's just look up. Yes, we are seeing pictures of actual horses. Actual horses that I guess are, yeah, small and sturdy. They look a little stocky. They look a little small. This one is, you know, maybe not even as tall as the human standing next to it. It's a garron or a garron. How do you pronounce it? Okay, so that was the whole definition. We have some etymology. It's from the Irish garron, from the Scottish Gaelic garron, spelled similar. Those words mean gelding, which I have heard of before. It's not quite as cool as the word that I think that's similar, which is gelfling, but this is gelding, which I think is related to horses. And we'll get to that GE section at some point in the G's. But yeah, small, sturdy workhorse is a garron. Now we have, okay, you can pronounce this four ways, although two of them look identical to me. It is garrot, garrot, or garret. And then the next one, garret, garret? Maybe it's garret. Yeah, I didn't look at that difference. Garrot. Garrot, 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 garrot. G-A-R-R-O-T-E. Or you can remove an R and add a T. So it's a single R and a double T, or a double R and a single T. This is the first form. It's a noun from 1622. 1A, a method of execution by strangulation. Ooh, ah. Okay, what? That seems like a unnecessary... I mean, listen, a lot of methods of execution might be kind of unnecessary. But this one, I mean, when you get hung by a noose, that's strangulation. That's cutting off the airflow and probably breaking your neck. But is this one where somebody is literally putting their hands around your neck and strangulating you that way, or pulling some other rope? I've never heard of this garrote. Well, there's more. Of course, there's more. 1B, the apparatus used. So I don't know. Do I want to look this up and put this in my Google history? I don't know. The apparatus used to strangle somebody is the garrote, and the method is garrote or garotte. Okay, well, we have another definition, which is number two, an implement. Here, now we're getting more information. An implement for strangulation, and examples of that might be wire with a handle at each end. Well, I have definitely seen this in movies. There's a, you know what? I think it's similar to the thing that people use who are doing ceramics. They got handles on each end, and there's a wire, and then they cut the block of clay off, and they're like, this is the block that I want to use to make a beautiful vase, but I could also use it for strangulation. All right, I'm making light of something that's obviously very bad. It's all about death. But, you know, we're learning about this. So there's this execution. That makes me think of this as a legal thing. Maybe somebody did a crime. They're in jail. They're going to execute them by garrote. But then if somebody just wants to strangle somebody with this wire, they're using the garrote to strangle somebody. And it's no execution. That one is much worse, probably. Okay. This is from the Spanish word. Now, would they pronounce it garrote? G-A-R-R-O-T-E. That's how I would assume, but I'm not sure. Okay, fascinating. Fascinating. I did not know about this one at all. But now we got to go on to the second form of garrote. This one is the verb. It's a transitive verb from 1851. I think you can probably see where this is going. It is to strangle with or as if with a garrote. Garroter or garrotter or garroter or garroter, garroter? That is a noun. All right. Learning new stuff. I'm not going to sing a song about this. I feel like that would be odd. Next is garrulity. Garrulity, noun from 1581. This is the quality or state of being garrulous, which is our next word. Garrulous. G-A-R-R-U-L-O-U-S. Garrulous, garrulous, garrulous. Adjective from circa 1611. Number one. Given to prosy, rambling, or tedious loquacity. also, pointlessly or annoyingly talkative. Ah, you're so garrulous when you're talking to me. You just keep on this podcast. I have to be garrulous. I have to keep on talking. I have to have tedious loquacity. I feel like that definition might have been a little garrulous. Prosy. So that makes me think of prose, like, oh, you are given to speaking poetically. That's not me. That's not me at all. Rambling? Here I have to ramble, but normally, no, not really, unless I'm talking about something I really like. Tedious loquacity. Oh my God, it's a good word. It's a good word. It's a great definition. I tip my hat to you. I tip my hat to you. Yeah, good one. Garrulous. Well, we got more, though. We got number two. The synonym is the number one definition for the word wordy, as in the example, garrulous speeches. Boy, that speech went on so long. There were so many words. So many words. They were kind of rambling a little bit. I think that they could have cut it by half. Synonym information. Go see the word talkative. Garrulously is an adverb and garrulousness is a noun. Well, I am definitely feeling garrulous here on this podcast. I gotta be garrulous on this podcast. I gotta keep on talking, otherwise it's a stupid podcast. I mean, it already is. This is from the Latin garrulus, from garrire, which means to chatter. And there's more at the word care. I care for you. I care that you're chattering. Care. Not sure how that came into this world. Next, we have the first form of the word garter. Noun from the 14th century. Number 1A. A band worn to hold up a stocking or sock. Back in the day, I mean, people are still wearing these, but not as much as they used to. Back in the day, your stockings or your socks maybe didn't have enough elasticity, or they didn't have the technology to make them elastic enough, but they had a band that would, I mean, the band probably wasn't elastic either, and it was maybe just something, maybe like a leather. I don't know what they used to make these out of, but they're like, nah, my stockings keep on falling down, and so do my socks. I need something to hold them up. I know, I'll invent a garter. We'll call it a garter. And I'll tie it around my calf or my thigh so my socks don't fall down. 1B, a band worn to hold up a shirt sleeve. Your shirt, why do you want your shirt sleeves to be up? Like I hold them up this way? Ooh, look at those pale shoulders. So, I don't think I was aware that garters were used for shirt sleeves as well. 1C, a strap hanging from a girdle or corset to support a stocking. So if you're wearing the girdle, it goes around your torso, your trunk area, your girdle or your corset. You know, you've got a lot of those lying around, I'm sure, just like me. And then there are the straps hanging down, go down to attach to the stocking. So this is not the one that goes around the leg to hold up the stocking. It's a strap that you, I don't know, how are you, maybe you're attaching it with a button or something. And it's still there to support the stocking so the stockings don't fall down, because you're just going to look super silly if you got stockings down at your ankles. Number 2 is capitalized. So 2A, this is the British Order of the Garter. I have to assume that this is the British Order of the Garter that's holding up your stockings. That must be what it is. But also, the blue velvet garter that is its badge. 2B is membership in the order. In that, like, why? What? It's the. What are they? Is this literally the garter that's holding up your stockings, or what is this? British people, do you know? Do you know about this British Order of the Garter? I'm so confused. Order of the Garter. Well, actually, I think it is. But this might be the one that's holding up the shirt sleeve. Let's see. Oh boy, it was started in 1348. The most senior order of knighthood in the British honors system, it is outranked in precedence only by the decorations of the Victoria Cross and the George Cross. The Order of the Garter is dedicated to the image and arms of St. George, England's patron saint. Appointments. I need to know the order's emblem is a garter circlet with the motto, which means it's in Latin, I think. It means shamed be the person who thinks evil of it. Oh, there's too much to read. Is this literally a garter? There's ladies of the garter. Maybe this is the garter that's. What's the garter in this thing? I can't read so much. I don't have time for this, people. Okay, well, that was fascinating. But let's see. The etymology. Okay, here we go. We're getting into it. This is from the Anglo-French garretaire or garret, which means thigh or shank. I'm sure people love it when you describe their thigh as a shank. Of Celtic origin, akin to the, I guess this is the Welsh word gar, which means shank. Ah, see, it comes back to gars. No, that was gams. Gar? Well, I know gar is the fish. Was gar a leg, a shank as well? Let's see, there's the fish. Yeah, it didn't say anything about shanks or legs. But anyway, it's really about the leg. That's what it is. So garter, it's like, hey, it's something to do with your leg. It goes around your leg. We'll call it a garter. All right. Great. And of course, you know, we can't not at least shout out the traditional, I don't know how far back it goes. The traditional thing of the husband, taking off the garter of the bride at the wedding and then throwing it to the single men, and then that's the next one who's going to get married. This, I am curious, though. We got to look up this tradition. Tradition of garter at wedding, okay? I'm sure it's, I mean, obviously I was using genderized words, so we can ignore that, because anybody, if you're going to wear the garter, anybody can take off the garter as long as they're your spouse. I mean, whatever. If you want somebody else to take off your garter, that's cool too. The wedding garter tradition involves a garter worn by the bride, often a decorative one, separate from her tossing garter. But isn't that the one that you toss? And it's tossed at the reception to single male guests. Its origins are traced back to medieval times. Okay, that goes back further than I thought. When guests would try to rip pieces of the bride's gown for good luck. Sorry, not cool. So she started tossing the garter as a less chaotic alternative. Today, couples can choose to participate in the tradition, modify it, or skip it entirely. Of course they can. They can choose to do whatever the hell they want. They're human beings, and it's their party. Wow. So, God, ripping pieces of the bride's wedding outfit was considered a good omen? I'm sure she loved that. Oh, my God. So then, like, okay, sorry, guys. This is getting a little too chaotic. I don't even want to imagine where it would end up. So she said, here's one of the sexiest pieces I have. Let me throw this to you and you can go fight over it. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. We do weird stuff as humans, don't we? All right. I'm glad I looked that up because I feel like I had heard of that tradition, but wasn't quite aware. So, you know what? I think that people should be educated before they have their wedding. If they're going to do these traditional things, I think they should be educated on where it came from and be like, is that what you want to be doing? Maybe we should just go back to ripping off pieces of the bride's dress. Would that be fun? Would you enjoy that? I don't think so. All right, we got to move on to the second form of garter, which is a transitive verb from the 15th century. It is to support with or as if with a garter. So would you garter your socks, garter your stockings, because they're being held up, they're being supported. They're being supported by a garter. So you gotta garter them. I want my socks to go all the way up to my hips. I want those types of socks. Oh, but then they're old and they're fallen, so I need a garter. I guess a garter belt is what I would have thought of, but it's just garter. It's just garter. Now we have garter snake. Noun from 1743. I definitely thought this was garden snake when I was a child. I am sure I'm not the only one. This is any of a genus of harmless vivaporous American snakes with longitudinal stripes on the back. Viviparous? How do you say this word? Viviparous. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know what that means. That's a great word. Are they vivacious? Are they vivid? Are they viviparous? The genus name is Thamnophis. Thamnophis. And there is a picture of a garter snake. I believe that these are relatively small, maybe 1 to 2 feet is my guess. This picture shows, you know, it's a very detailed drawing of all these little scales, and some are light and some are dark, and longitudinal stripes. So does that mean that they go down the length of the snake? Yes, it does, because this picture shows that this one has looks like there's like a white spot, not a spot, the white stripe starts at the top of the head and goes all the way down the back of the snake. It's just one long stripe. They don't go around the body, it goes down the length of the body. And then there's some other darker stripes and stuff. So that's a garter snake. I guess if you see one, you will now know, it's got longitudinal stripes. So I think that might be a garter snake. Also, it looks very vivaporous. So it's definitely a garter snake. And it's harmless. They're tiny. They're little. Next is Garth. My brain automatically goes to Wayne and Garth of Wayne's World. How can it not? What a silly, silly character. Noun from the 14th century. This is a small yard or enclosure, and the synonym is close? A close. I don't really remember close, but it's closed, so it's a close, a close. It's called a garth. This is from the Old Norse garthr, which means yard, akin to the Old High German gart, which means enclosure, and there's more at the word yard. Yard, gart, and we had, didn't we have recently, garden, so it's very similar, garth, gart, garden, yes, very similar to that. I have never heard of anybody describe their yard or garden as a garth, so I don't think we're really using this one so much. But all of you artists out there, because I know most of you are probably, maybe, I don't know, who are you? Who are you? But I want you to draw me a picture of Garth. What is his last name? I can't remember. Garth from Wayne's World in his garth, in his yard. What is he doing in his garth? Is he playing drums? Is he twiddling his thumbs? I don't know what Garth is doing. One of my favorite scenes, at least from the movie, was when he is lip-syncing Foxy Lady. And it's so, I can't not think of that when I hear that song. Foxy. Foxy Lady. Oh, and then after he does his drum solo, he says, I like to play. Ah, this brings back my childhood. Next we have Garvey, which is very close to Carvey, which is Dana Carvey, who played Garth. Anyway, just a fun little connection there. Not really. Garvey is a noun from circa 1896. It is a small scow, especially of the New Jersey coast. What the hell is a scow or a scow? S-C-O-O-W. Not a scowl. Is it a scow or a scow? It's a wide-beamed sailing dinghy. That's what it is. Okay, so this Garvey is a boat in the New Jersey coast, mostly? And the etymology says it's probably from the name Garvey. So maybe there was somebody with the last name Garvey, or first name, and they built these boats. They popularized these boats. They made them better than they had been before. So they called them Garveys. Now we have the word gas. And this is our last word of this episode. We have two forms. The first one has a bunch of definitions. The first form of gas is a noun from 1779. Number one, a fluid, as air, that has neither independent shape nor volume, but tends to expand indefinitely. That is how a gas is defined. We got solids. They have a shape. They have a certain shape. Do I have any solids here? You know what? No, I can't find any solids. I'm kidding. This whole room is made up of solids. They're all solids. Here, let's pick up my mug. This this is actually a perfect example. So this is a They Might Be Giants mug. Sorry, you are not allowed to read what it says. There's this image on this side. So this, it's a solid. It has a definite shape. You know, if we're really thinking about our three-dimensional physical world, you can't penetrate it. You could break it, but you're not going through it. It's solid. You know, of course, then you can't not think of like, oh, well, the distance between all the atoms is the relative same distance between all of the planets and the galaxies out there. So there's more space in the solid than you think. And it's our brains, it's our consciousness that makes it solid. We're not going to talk about that because we don't understand that. But inside of the solid is a liquid. There's some coffee with cream in there. I need a lot of cream to make it sweet. Let's have some. Liquid. There's no shape. It takes on the shape of the thing that it's in, but gas. gas is going to, it doesn't care about gravity probably. Maybe certain gases do a little bit, but in general, they're just like, I want to see the world. Where? Well, I want to go to the corner of that room. Let's go explore all of the different parts of this space. Ooh, there's a little crack. I'm going into the crack. I'm going to expand indefinitely as much as I can. Gases. I'll give you some gases. Okay, number two is, 2A, a combustible gas or gaseous mixture for fuel or lighting, especially the synonym natural gas. This is the, there's a bug over there. Hello, bug. Why don't you go away? Please and thank you. So this gas, it's, you're going to use it in your home to gas, maybe for your gas stove, lighting. We don't really use gas for lighting anymore. The movie Gaslight, that was made back in the day, or took place back in the day when people were using gas for light. It's combustible. Not all gases are combustible, where you put some flame and then they goes, whoa. But natural gas, that does. 2B, a gaseous product of digestion, also discomfort from this. Oh, I got gas in my belly. Oh, I had some food that created some extra gases in my belly. And I got to get rid of the gas. What am I going to do? I'm going to poke a hole in my stomach and let it out that way. No, there's another way to let that gas out. 2C, a gas or gaseous mixture used to produce anesthesia. When you go to get some surgery done, sometimes you gotta take the anesthesia. The doctor will give it. You don't have to do it yourself. Don't worry. That's a lot of pressure. Somebody else will give it to you. They know what they're doing. You don't. So they are going to give you. They're going to give you the gas to knock you out. 2D, a substance that can be used to produce a poisonous, asphyxiating, or irritant atmosphere. What could that, some substance, well, yeah, I mean, it, because it's a gas, it's going to expand, and it's going to get into people's lungs. It could be poisonous, asphyxia, it's like, I can't breathe anymore. Or irritant atmosphere. Oh, it makes my throat and my lungs irritated, this type of gas. I don't know what gas, I am not an expert on these types of gases. Number three, empty talk, and the synonym is bombast, or bombast. Empty talk. Oh, you're just talking and talking and talking. You're maybe a little bit garrulous, and I'm not paying attention to what you're saying because it's just nothing. It's just like gas. It's just this air coming out of your body. Blah. Oh, I did want to mention, if we go back to number one, gas is a fluid. It's a fluid, an air. The air that I'm breathing, it's technically a fluid. It flows through the air. There's what those jet streams or something. So it's technically a fluid, but it's not a liquid. So there's a difference between fluid and liquid, and it expands. Okay, number four, the synonym is gasoline. Also, the accelerator pedal of an automotive vehicle. You say, hit the gas. What's the gas? You want me to hit the gas? I want you to hit that gas pedal. Which pedal? The gasoline pedal. Hit that gasoline pedal so we can get this car going. We just robbed a bank. We got to get going. Come on. Hit that gas. Woo-wee. Number five, driving force. And the synonym is energy. As in the example, we have two examples, in fact. I was young and full of gas. That is a quote from H.L. Mencken. Of course, my immature brain, because I've never aged past 12. This must be a very old quote, but, you know, reading it in modern days, I hear, I was young and full of gas. Of course, I'm going to think of farts. But no, that's not what it was at all. It's driving force. It's energy. I had so much more energy when I was young. I had so much gas in me, trying to let it out. But we have another example. Ran out of gas in the seventh inning. It's like their gas tank, their metaphorical gas tank. It's all ran up. They got rid of all of their driving forces, so they ran out of gas. It's that metaphorical gas that's inside of you. Number six, this is slang. It is something that gives pleasure. The synonym is delight. The example is the party was a gas. I have heard this. This is an older term. This is probably from when my parents were teenagers and in their 20s. And so it's a gas. There was a whole song called It's a Gas. Was it by Alfred E. Newman? Alfred E. Newman did have a silly song. It's a gas song. Yes, Alfred E. Newman is by Mad Magazine, basically. I want to know the etymology of, I guess, the phrase "it's a gas," or why is it something that was fun and great? Let's see. The phrase "it's a gas" comes from a combination of early 19th century British and 20th century African American slang. Interesting combination. It's likely evolved from Charles Dickinson's 1839 phrase "gas and gaiters," G-A-I-T-E-R-S, which came to mean a state of affairs, and from James Joyce's usage of gas to mean joke or frivolity around 1914. The term's popularity surged during the Jazz Age and became specifically associated with enjoyment and excitement in the 1960s. So, first we got Charles Dickens in 1839, meant a state, just the state of affairs. Nonsensical. Then the early 1900s, something funny, frivolous. The 20s and 30s, specifically. The term was adopted by African-American communities, likely spreading the meaning of gas as something fun or enjoyable. And then in 1957, that specific phrase, "it's a gas," appeared in print for the first time, according to James Baldwin. And then it was embraced by the hippie movement. So, interesting etymology there. I mean, who knows how accurate all of this is. It's good stuff. Gas is good. Gas is great. Fun. Oh, it's a gas. I was always confused by that phrase. And I still am, I guess. It's gas. Okay, this word is from, it's New Latin, alternative of the Latin word chaos, C-H-A-O-S. I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce that in Latin, but that means space or chaos. It's kind of blowing my mind, actually, that the word for space is also the word for chaos, and it literally is chaos. And I mean, there's the chaos theory, and there's just the idea that, like, space is chaos. Everything is constantly moving and nothing is really stagnant. It's constantly evolving and changing. And that's the same word as space. Ooh, fascinating. Very interesting. So that word for space and chaos just became this stuff that's ever spreading, ever constant. I don't know. Yeah, that's an interesting etymology. Space, ghost, coast to coast. I'm trying to think of, like, what came first. Was it like, oh, the space out there, and then this gas just fills up a space? I don't know. There's many possibilities, I feel like. Well, anyway, that was a lot of talk about gas. I could talk about gas all day. I could create gas all day. I'm very sorry for my immature brain. But now we got to move on to... Ooh, my sound effect was supposed to be the snake, but also it's kind of related to gas. Like maybe when it's leaking out of a pipe or something, maybe the gas goes... We finally have the second form of gas, which is a verb from 1852. We are starting with intransitive, number one. To talk idly or garrulously And I'm so glad that they put that word in there because I mentioned it in the first one for wordy. And so, yes, just talking a lot. I'm gassing you with all of my garrulous talk that I have to come up with off the top of my head. Number two, to give off gas. Oh, sorry. I'm gassing you as I walk by. Or what else? You're gassing... again, when like a pipe is broken, maybe when you've got a helium balloon and you open it up and you are gassing the room or your lungs with helium, and then you talk like that. Number three, to fill the tank with gasoline, and the tank of what? The tank of an automobile. Gas up my car. Yes, usually used with the word up. I gotta go gas up. I just gassed up yesterday. I was like, I'm going to be doing some driving and my gas tank is pretty low, so I'm going to go gas up. Now we have transitive number one, to supply with gas or especially gasoline, as in gas up the car. So intransitive or transitive, to fill the tank or to supply with gas. But so which is the, if you're filling the tank, you're intransitively filling the tank, you're gassing the tank, but to supply with gas, I don't know. It's the same thing, I think. Number 2A, to treat chemically with gas. What would that be? Maybe with the anesthesia? Gas me up. Gas me up. I want to go under. I got to get cut up, so I want to be gassed. 2B, to poison or otherwise affect adversely with gas. Gassing the room, don't like it, it feels bad, that's gassing. And number three, this is slang, to please greatly. So a thing can be a gas, but then you can gas people when you're pleasing them greatly. Well, I hope this podcast is gassing you. I love it when I gas people, please them greatly. I know that there's a few of you out there who are very gassed by this podcast, and obviously this podcast is a gas. It's a podgas. All right, let's pick a word of the episode. Today we had Garrison State, Garen, that was the workhorse, Garrote, strangulation, Garrote, Garrulify, that was all about being garrulous. Garter, garter, garter snake, Garth, Garvey, gas, and gas. And I'm not sure if there's one that really speaks to me necessarily. I mean, yeah, I mean, gas is pretty good. That's a good one. Garter, I mean, I got really no connection with, I don't know, whatever. Let's just pick garter as the word of the episode because maybe I can sing a little ditty about garters. I'm wearing my garter, it's holding up my socks. Here's my garter, oh, there go my socks. Wonderful. Oh my gosh. How does he do it? Okay, let's talk about another movie. The next movie that we watched that was Frankenstein. This is The New Frankenstein by Guillermo del Toro. I believe that it was supposed to be closer to the book than maybe some other versions of Frankenstein. It's been a while since I saw this one, so I'm trying to think of, I mean, it's very beautiful. Mr. Del Toro, surely loves his monster human love stories. I'm trying to think of what I mean, I liked it. I think overall it is very enjoyed by the public. If you haven't seen it, I think it's worth a watch. The makeup was cool, but it also, you know, it didn't feel as realistic as it could have because, you know, it's not meant to be. First of all, it's not meant to be. It's stylized. Different colors and shapes and things are on his body. There's this whole thing about people in the North Pole. I'm never aware of that being part of the story, but it was very interesting. And, you know, he's, he grows and he learns and he changes as the film goes on. Frankenstein's monster specifically. So yeah, I guess if you want something that's a little bit more closer to the book, the story, the original idea, I think that this is supposed to be pretty close to that. Although I haven't done my research. I just like movies. They're fun. Movies are fun. All right, that will be the end of this episode. Thank you so much for checking it out. Of course, as usual, I am very appreciative of you, and I surely love gassing you. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.